from here, kids.
I think we should play that hour back for the next 3 hours.
You can play that every Thursday.
The funniest story.
Well, what are you going to do?
Maybe you could write an essay about what happened and post it on a couple's website. Smokey Smokehouse.
My Taylor Swift story. By Rick Emerson, age 9. I should totally. I really. Part of me kind of wishes I could go. I could go appear at her public performance this afternoon.
And just start popping up everywhere.
Stand in the back of the hall, just stare at her.
Oh, like Zelig?
Yeah, totally.
You should wave to her quietly.
Mouth the words, "I love you," and just don't say a word. Just like fix her with an unblinking. Yeah, just let's do the slow clown wave.
Do you to use the restroom?
Oh, I hold the sign. This is restroom.
The restrooms here are fantastic. All right. How was I to know? Good God Almighty. Well, let's get these typing. I hope this story goes away soon. Ryan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. I'm sorry. I hope it goes away swiftly. Ryan, what's up, brother?
Well, I actually had a call today in defense of Scotty about what he was saying about how she looks older in the video or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure about this video. I've never seen it. I have no idea who the person is.
Sure.
But do you remember JoJo?
Oh, yeah. JoJo was like 5.
Yeah, she was like 13 when
13,
she came out.
Yeah.
Actually 15, I think.
I remember going bowling, and my friends, they played the video up on the screens up in the bowling alley, and my friends would go, "Stop, she's so hot." And I go, "Yeah, that's gross. She's 13. They had no idea.
No, it is. It's true. You can get sort of caught off guard. I remember that JoJo. What is that video? It's where she's sitting in front of a bank of lockers. How creepy that I've even seen it, that I sit around watching
TV.
What's
she wearing, Rick?
A jumper. Mary Jane's. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. She said they put the clothes and the makeup and everything and make it look like she's about 17 or 18, and she was 13, and people were like, "What?"
Yeah, no, I just sort of assume that girls like that now are underage. That's the thing. My default assumption is that all of those girls are like 12. Right. I never believe that anybody's legal until they show me the paperwork. So
she has a new video out now where I think she's 15. She looks like she's in her 20s.
Creepiest show ever. No, okay.
Best show ever.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Hey there, Tim.
Unless you come on 5 seconds, I'm going to tear this door off the hinges.
As we were saying, imagining Taylor Swift in there. Oh, she's on the phone. Call the police. There's a man at the door of the bathroom. She's on her cell phone, just desperately trying to find the authorities. While
How
I'm
long
outside,
did she wait to come out?
While I'm out there rattling the door of the bathroom as hard as I can, going, "Come on!" Oh man, I don't know. Because of course I did the whole thing of, you know, rattling the door, you know, "Come on!" And then nothing happened. So I just said, "Ah," you know, and I just stood outside. And you know how close we stand to the door.
Silently.
Yeah, because I did. Because it's a narrow hallway.
Didn't you get your heavy breathing into the door?
Seeing my shadow. Seeing the darkened space at the bottom of the door where I'm standing there. Well, you know how narrow this hallway is. And so we just stand right in front of the bathroom door. So I'm all just standing out there. And swings it open, and I'm, you know, and I'm like standing there looking all crazy eyed right outside the bathroom door.
Could I have your autograph?
I was hoping to get a sample. Oh, God. Oh, these are the best of times, kids. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah, I guess so.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here.
Make way for the prophet, president, seer, and revelator of the Rick Emerson Show, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A young country music star is terrorized. And she awaits an interview.
Oh, God. And there was the creepiest guy standing outside the bathroom at that one station.
Now I have those stomach pains that nobody should be experiencing.
Tim has the pain that men can never know. Tim Riley knows the pain that men can never know.
Oh, okay. Well, we got 3 more hours to go after listening to that. Is she coming back for an encore performance?
Is she coming back?
I don't know. I'm going to be gone, baby. It doesn't matter. No, I think she's performing. I forget where. It's she's playing somewhere like
one. No, where she was performing, Rick.
It's at 1 o'clock today. I think it's at Music Millennium, but I might be wrong about that. I could be wrong.
No, is she putting on a show, though? Is she playing...
I can't imagine much of a show. She only really got the one song.
Jeez, we might use the ladies' room.
Yes. I don't know. We should ask Smokey. We'll bring him. We'll bring Smokey in here in a while.
Does he know what went on?
No. No, but now everybody else does. I'm sure the story will be everywhere. I'm sure within like an hour, everybody will be familiar.
That weekly CBS Net News that comes over the internet for us every week.
Yeah, totally. It'll be part of Les Moonves' quarterly update. Yeah. And let's thank Rick Emerson for going the extra mile in artist relations in Portland. Good God Almighty. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Okay, I don't know where to start here. Well, about 100 searchers continue to comb a rugged, rocky coast in Oregon for that San Francisco man who's been missing for 2 weeks. His wife and two children found yesterday near Grants Pass. Lieutenant Greg Hastings says authorities are using all resources they can from Grants Pass to find James Kim.
We put two rafts on the Rogue River to float down to Black Bar Lodge and check the river along the way. We have four helicopters up in the air. We're continuing to put more teams in to that area to track. We brought in a specialist for a man tracker that we could put in, see if we could find his footprints.
Well, are they
alive?
Well, they are, like, they found the wife and the kids.
But the guy went to look for people.
And so they stayed in the car. Now, where was the car?
It was on some dirt road. There's some forestry road.
I don't, but it's like they were just coming back from Seattle, right?
Yeah.
How is it that when you're going...
Well, I guess they wanted to go to the coast. And they might have misinterpreted the map.
Well, I gotta tell you, looking at it, I'm nobody's idea of, Ponce de Leon or nothing. No.
We have to face it. Most of this state is wilderness.
Well, that's the thing. Oregon will kill you dead. If you're not, if you're not careful, this state will completely, it'll kill you fast and hard. You didn't see their car in Beaverton a week ago, Scotty. Quit being, Scotty, I saw their car in Beaverton. You did not see their car in Beaverton a week ago. Quit typing "I did" on the screen.
There's no reward.
Yeah. Unless you stay now, he's giving details. I saw their car at Beaverton, Fred Meyer. For real, it says. What are you doing? This is like the kid who comes to give his like report in third grade and insists that he saw a dinosaur on the way to school. No, the thing is, Oregon will totally snuff you if you're not careful, because, again, I'm no Magellan, but I,
Once you get outside, it's a wallet, and it's a no man's land.
I was trying to, God, where the hell was I trying to go? I was trying to go to my brother's wedding rehearsal, which is sort of in the boondocks, but that wasn't like it was 1,000 miles away. It was, you know, I don't know, whatever, an hour past Gresham or something. But he was up at some lodge, you know, some Von Trapp family looking lodge somewhere. And man, I took a wrong turn somewhere.
Nature is very unforgiving.
I found myself in the middle of like a real big nothing. It was like I was supposed to turn left and I turned right. And you know how it is when you get into these boondock areas of Portland. There are no street signs. The roads are unpaved. Mm-hmm. And then there are just those wooden signs that say, like, and they're always half eroded by the rain. So it's like, Inkville, 5 miles, you know, and you're like, well, where do I, okay. And then you just plunge it, you take the road less traveled, and then they find your sun-bleached bones about a year later. So, yeah.
And normally friendly animals that are friendly in, like, storybooks, they get mean in a hurry. I was walking on a nature trail next to my house with my dog, and some evil-looking thing looked at me with its fangs hanging out, said, take one more step and I'll eat the both of you. So I turned around. So I wasn't going to tempt this beast, whatever it was.
Where was this?
This is... There are private nature trails where I live.
What beast was this?
I don't know what it was. It kind of looked like a mean beaver. But I didn't get a look at its tail to make sure. I would assume it was a beaver of some sort.
Beavers will totally kill you. That's what people... Well, not you.
Well, he looked at me.
Yeah.
Without looks, take one more step in your lunch.
No, you're out with your dog. You got to be careful. I didn't know this. You're out with your dog. You got to be careful for beavers, because beavers will go right after him. This state, and I have talked about this in the past, and I was never really able to get a handle on what they were.
I mean, they're not friendly beasts in the woods.
What are those
like
things?
Led to believe.
Those things are called, they look like huge possums. They look like
that's
huge...
I think that's what this thing
is. It's like, it looks like a big-ass possum.
Yeah.
But it's not a possum, because possums are like, they're small. They're the size of like a ferret or so. Mm. This is like a huge, it's like a possum or like a possum crossed with a rat, but they're like the size of a football with a big rat tail.
Oh, those things that are down near the waterfront?
Yeah, what the hell are, do you ever bicycle by OMSI? And there's these things. They're like huge goddamn rats. They're maybe they are.
I've
rats.
Only seen one once, but I.
They're terrifying, and they're only they're largely terrifying because you don't know what they are.
That, and I pay homeowners association dues, and they let these things hang around there.
God, they're busy taking peace signs down. So no, this. But I have gotten lost in the woods around Portland. Not terribly. But, I mean, just trying to drive to someplace, I've gotten lost. And you're right. I mean, they'll pick you out of a shallow grave 2 years later.
I mean, you need somebody like Sacagawea to accompany you in the woods.
They really do. They ought to have some service where you can rent one of those, like a guide.
Yes.
You can rent, like, one of those people who knows the land. The, you know, like one of those Grizzly Adams, Harry Truman guys.
Anyway, Lieutenant Hastings says Mr. Kim had to deal with recent temperatures.
Weather conditions up there has been clear and cold. They're about 3,000-foot elevation. We're at 900-foot here. So it is. It's been getting in the high 20s, low 30s.
So not only are there scary things in the woods, it's cold out there.
Well, that guy, I mean, he's got to be dead. I mean, I hate to be morbid about
it. No, we don't want to say that yet.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm not. He can't hear me. I'm just saying.
He might be listening.
On his Sea Crane portable radio. I'm not trying to be morbid about it. I'm just saying they are alive because they stayed in the car. If you're walking in the woods.
What about the people who went to rescue people in Alive, the movie? They became alive, and then they brought the helicopters back and they rescued people.
Well, that's only because they had other. That's only because they had, like, the goalie to eat.
Oh, that might be true.
Okay, I guess those things are called neutrinos?
Neutrino, that's a star. A neutrino is a quark particle, I believe.
That sounds like a diet food.
A neutrino?
Yep.
You'll love neutrinos. Neutrino, really? I swear to God, I thought a neutrino was the smallest particle identified by science.
I do not know.
Well,
I think I ran into one of those neutrinos, and it looked mean. I wasn't going to take another step forward. I turned around and left.
And it looks like some weird Harry Potter creature. Like, you're like, I've never seen one of you before, and I am terrible. I'm not trying to be morbid about the guy, but I'm trying to assess.
Maybe, are you saying that he was bitten by one of these?
I'm not. I'm yes. See, why do you lead me down the path of evil, Tim Riley? I'm just saying, because it's been below freezing the last couple of nights.
Yeah.
And it's not like people, I mean. If you live in the city, as they say in San Francisco, I don't really know that you got a lot of outdoorsy skill going on there. I mean, I hope he's fine. It's just that's the thing. This is the worst time of year because it's rainy and it's mud and then it's cold all the time. And that's undoubtedly why he left them in the car so they could be shielded from the elements. It's just a bad scene. And you're totally right. I mean, again, not to dwell on the dark side of things, but I mean, nature totally knows when you're vulnerable too. And it'll come.
It washes roads away in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, it'll come in and take care of business. Oh, we've got let's see here.
Thank goodness for the suburbs,
Michael. Yes, thank goodness for the suburbs.
Have a bit of information for the thing that may have attacked him and his dog.
Okay, it did not attack. It threatened
to
attack.
We ran the other way.
They ran like cowards, sir.
It is most likely a nutria from the description he gave, which is pretty much a cross between a beaver and an otter, kind of with a rat. They're mean.
Nutria. Okay, that's right. That sounds right.
I had one, like, attack me and my friends when they were, like, 12, and we beat it to death with shovels.
We didn't have a shovel.
What a great bonding experience that must have been for you.
How might one politely ask it to go in another direction?
Pardon me, Mr.
Nutria.
Nutria. Now, did it really attack you guys?
No. My friend's little brother was about knee-deep in the pond we were playing in over by their house, and we turned around, and it started hissing at him and swimming towards him. And it kept coming, and we, you know, just chucked rocks at it, you know, yelled, and it kept coming, so finally just... took two shovels and beat the hell out of
it. You did what had to be done.
It was life and death. It was the nutria or my friend's little brother.
No. I am serious. You dealt with it as needed to be dealt. Well, that's the creepy part when you're throwing rocks and it just won't be dissuaded by rocks. Because that means, here's the creepy, that nature is terrifying. It really is. This is why I don't camp.
Yeah, it's not like a Disney film.
No, there are no dancing, singing animals that do little jigs and then come and, like, help you figure out the meaning of Christmas. They eat your eyes. They come and they eat your eyes and they suck on the marrow of your bones. The creepy thing about that, about it hissing, first of all, hissing is unpleasant. And then it starts swimming towards you when you're throwing rocks at this nutria. And you said it's what? A cross between a beaver and a what?
Like a beaver and a river otter.
Okay,
and it has a huge tail like a rat.
It's one of the ugliest animals you've ever seen. It is. It's completely. They're all over the OMSI area. When I bicycle home, or when I used to, I would see them. The creepy thing about that, when it's swimming toward you and then you're throwing rocks and it won't be dissuaded, what's unnerving about that is in its head, it has made the calculation about, can I take this thing down and feast on its body? And it has come up with the answer of, Yes. Yes, I can. An animal will never, unprovoked, will never come at you unless it's calculated that it has a good chance of winning that fight. So that's the creepy thing.
And there are strange things that live in water. Everywhere.
Well, in hindsight, true. We didn't have to kill it. We just needed to be faster than
that was
little,
just
fun. My friend's little brother.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't take any chances.
The only thing that can be done is to fill in these waterways and build strip malls. That's the greatest revenge against nature, I think. And the only way to deal with this problem.
The only way to deal with nature is to remove it and pave it, sir.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Best show ever. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm doing what I can. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, I mean, give it a choice. Either the nutria lives or I do. So I do. And there has to be more of a shopping center where it now lives.
As a lesson to the others.
This has to be done here.
We will leave this Olive Garden to teach the others. All right. Here's fantastic. Best show ever. Here's Jim Riley.
Well, America is not winning the war in Iraq. That's what Defense Secretary nominee Robert Gates told the Senate Armed Services Committee during his confirmation hearing. Gates is a former CIA chief. He said bipartisan solutions must be achieved.
We need to work together to develop a strategy that does not leave Iraq in chaos and that protects our long-term interests in and hopes for the region.
It's so orderly now.
Yeah, I've just stopped caring about Iraq, and I know that's more of my lacking empathy, that I'm trying to care about the people in Iraq, and I just don't. I got my own problems. We're being attacked by sea creatures or whatever.
Why don't we drop some nutrients in there to keep order?
Seriously, I'm stalking Taylor Swift in the bathroom. Scotty's a pedophile. I mean, we're up to our eyeballs in issues over here to deal with. So I'm trying to care about Iraq, and it's just not coming together for me. So I've moved on in my head. And I was talking to Lisa Goddard about it, and she said that everybody, including her, she said that they all have a very favorable opinion of this guy. And I didn't want to get into some sort of a back and forth about it because she was busy, she had to get back. But how sad that this is what passes for truth now, that the guy says we're not winning, and then later on says we're not losing. All right.
Gates warned about exiting Iraq prematurely.
Developments in Iraq over the next year or two will, I believe, shape the entire Middle East and greatly influence global geopolitics for many years to come.
Oh, who cares? It's just going to be a bunch of guys who hate each other and us, and that's always going to be the way it is, and it's never going to change.
What about if the Japanese buy General Motors? Then we could put all these problems behind us, couldn't we?
Is that happening?
It could.
They are crafty people.
Gates vowed to be independent and says he's not returning to Washington to be a bump on a log.
And not to say exactly what I think, and to speak candidly and frankly boldly to people both at both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue about what I believe and what I think needs to be done.
He is returning to Washington, though, to be the germ on the flea, on the hair, on the wart, on the frog, and the bump on the log, in the hole in the bottom of the sea.
The White House is downplaying the comments made by Mr. Gates. Tony Snow told reporters that when Gates' testimony is taken as a whole, both Gates and the president believe the same thing about Iraq.
What you saw is somebody who clearly shares the president's view on this and the president's goals, but is also going to go in and take a fresh look. He did not presume to have complete knowledge of the operational issues. You know, I look at that, and it seems to me that it's very consistent with the approach the president's been taking.
That's just, you know what that is? That's a whole lot of just spinning it right there and going, no, we have always been at war. That's exactly what that is. That's a whole little Orwellian thing there.
Both Mr. Gates and the president are on the same page.
So what you may have are two guys who are looking at different definitions. I don't know. I don't want to try to read their minds. But what I do think is important in taking a full look at what Bob Gates was doing is then to take a look at when he started drilling down. What did he talk about? Precisely the same things.
Okay. Yes, whatever you say.
You guys just keep writing memos.
go about your business. Leave me alone. Let's see. Peter, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
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 Okay, so I have an awful story about a nutria.
Oh.
Hello.
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 Do it.
Okay, so I was
the best show ever continues unabated.
Yes, I was on a date about 2 years ago with this girl who I had just met. It was our first date, and she took me to this park in Lake Oswego
to do some necking.
Not quite. She was kind of awkward. to be completely honest,
some kneeing instead of necking.
She had a stump and no genitals.
Yeah, basically. But at any rate, she took me to this pond, and there was about 40 or 50 nutria swimming around.
Oh!
And I had never seen these awful creatures before, but she was quite familiar with them. She said that her class, like, raised one in third grade and then set it free.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Let it lose its fear of humans even more. Fantastic.
At any rate, so we're kind of hanging out, and this one nutria starts walking up towards me and hissing and flapping its little rat tail at me. And I was freaking out. I didn't know what they were called, so I kept referring to them as pig rats.
Okay.
And these pig rats were coming at me, and one tried to bite at me, so I kicked it, and she freaked out, and the one started to chase us. And I pushed her into them and ran away.
Oh, fantastic.
I pushed her directly into harm's way and ran off, drove home, and never answered one of her phone calls again.
I had no idea the story was going to that conclusion. I really, this entire, you had me, you were like an M. Night Shyamalan of phone calls. I had no idea that twist ending was coming. Then anyway, you shove her into a pile of water rats and run away and then duck her calls for the rest of your life.
All I know is it was either me or her, and I wouldn't have to be a hero.
That's what it comes down to, doesn't it?
At the end, it's always you or them.
Yes. Hey, I just wanted to say I'm a huge fan of the show.
Thank you.
Love it very much.
God bless you, sir. You call us anytime, and I mean that sincerely.
Will do.
All right, there you go. The best line is, I pushed her directly into harm's way. That really is like a full-on Job Bluth behavior right there, too. Good God. I think he throws her. No, take the girl! Throws her into a pile of 50 water rats. And then never answers her calls again. Oh, man. Oh, good God. That's the best call ever. Oh, fantastic.
That's going to be part of the Christmas show.
Really, that right there, if that...
God, those are ugly little things.
Let's see it.
Now, that, I don't think that's what... I do not think that is what you think it is. Is that, that's not what you're talking about, is it, Tim? Well, I'd have to see the full-bodied creature.
Yeah, I'd see the full body.
It has big teeth.
Yeah, see? It's snarling teeth.
Maybe. I'm always so distracted by the tail. Because it looks like a rat tail. That's the thing. And I'm always thinking it's a huge rat. Because you hear those stories, and I think they probably are just stories, but you hear those stories about like 3-foot rats in New York or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm always, every time I see one of those things, and it's always down by the river, by Omsi, I'm always distracted by the huge rat tail because I think that's the biggest damn rat I've ever seen in my life. And then you just, yeah. And then you're always afraid that there's going to be, you know, luckily I wasn't there with Peter, who just would have thrown me into their cavernous maw and then run for safety. Well done, sir. The Rick Emerson Show salutes you. We should break here. This
seems like Brendan.
Or Peter. This seems like a natural stopping point here. We'll do this. We'll come right back with more of Tim Riley. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Ed McCarthy later on. Dennis Pittenbarger, and we'll find out what Tim Riley's Moxie tastes like. His sweet, sweet Moxie. You stay right there, won't you please? I once had an ex-girlfriend named the Mean Beaver. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. It's 503-733-2970. Tim Riley returns in just a moment with the Ministry of Truth. What else do we have here? Rick, there are also muskrats in the Willamette, a.k.a. river rats. Their fur isn't as dense as nutria, and they don't have the long whiskers that nutria do. They're also very scrappy. More info than you needed or wanted. I live to serve. By the way, I can help Scotty out with his sex life. That's from Gay Bob. There you go, Scotty. Bless you. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Nature is best when witnessed at a zoo.
Nature is best when it's in pelt form. Excellent.
Because they live all the Christmas lights up at the zoo right now.
Yes. They. Is that true?
Yes.
All right.
Well, I put my. That's why it's decorated like that for the holidays.
Oh man, I gotta. I the day after Thanksgiving, I put up every single Christmas light. My house is just ablaze with Christmas lights now. They're all of the. Christmas. I don't even wait. I'd put them up like in July if I thought that Laura would let me. But like 1 minute after Thanksgiving was done, I was out there like with the staple gun putting up a Christmas light all through my house.
Well, here's something new for the holidays, courtesy of the Catholic Church: nuns who molest.
Is that like a sequel to the expanding?
It is.
Okay.
Apparently, the nuns in Chicago are up to the shenanigans. Barbara Bain says they're more familiar with the Catholic Archdiocese covering up allegations against priests than nuns. Number 3.
We are aware that this has been a pattern with priests. We did not know that it was a pattern with nuns abusing children as well. We are hearing from more and more men and women who are coming forward and reporting to us that they were abused by nuns.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't really think
why
about
not?
That. Well, I guess we are equal opportunity in this country. Why should nuns miss out on the fun?
Meanwhile, last week's winter storm is continuing to cause problems. Dr. Michael Mullen of the Jewish Hospital says lots of people have been slipping and falling on ice.
They're getting bumps and bruises most of the time, but there is certainly a hazard for getting fractures depending upon how somebody falls or what somebody's health is before they fall.
You know, and my dog has discovered that great thing. This was more of a problem in Provo because it was really cold there. But my dog has discovered that great thing of like when there's a patch of ice, he will find the one dry place and just begin to run feverishly, pulling me behind him, and he always pulls me right towards the slick that you know, the slick fall right in your back and break your spine section of the side. There's no worse feeling. I mean, I guess maybe there is a worse feeling, but it's a bad feeling when you fall on the ice and just bust your ass because you've got the pain and then you've got that you feel retarded and there's always somebody around to watch it. Always, you have never fallen on the ice when there wasn't like 15 guys across the street going ha, you know, like laughing at you Nelson Muntz style. Is the way if you never want to fall on the ice, just go out when nobody's around, because God only pushes you down when there are people there to mock your pain.
Here are some tips for falling on the ice.
To spread your feet apart just a little bit farther with a wider base as you're walking, and consider, you know, walking a little bit like a penguin, taking slower, smaller steps so that you don't get your center of gravity too far ahead of or behind your feet.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, absolutely. That will make you look retarded.
Back to where we go.
All right. Let's see here. Hold on. All right, yes, we are ready.
Family pride has forced former President George Herbert Walker Bush to tears as he joined his son, Florida Governor Jeb Bush, and his grandson last night in Tallahassee.
Who showed not merely with words, but in my actions, with pieces.
Understand anything he just said.
I know.
Who showed not merely with words, but in my actions, with pieces.
What? Instead of rock tumbler.
Yeah, I can do it. Yeah.
Well, apparently things aren't going well for the boys.
Sir, that's like an audio caption contest right there. I have no idea. I'm going to hear that one more time. I have no idea what he's saying.
Who showed not merely with words.
Here's what I'm hearing. I hurt so numb, merry with words.
Who showed not merely with words, but in my actions, with thesis.
I hurt so numb, merry with words, but a man's actions wouldn't be 16.
Who showed not merely with words, but in my actions, with thesis.
That's it. All right, there you go.
Meanwhile, the cartoon satire of President Bush is to make its TV debut on the Comedy Channel. This comes to us from Britain. Mr. Bush and key members of his administration is portrayed as children in Little Bush, resident of the United
this
States.
This really ought to be a Bush watch. This really, hold on, let me just thank you.
Resident, kind of in charge. He's got
sounds like exactly the kind of story the Bush Watcher is made for.
Life is hard, that's the price of fame when you're president.
Everyone knows your name.
Hey, what's that name? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our realm. That's my Bush.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
So a comedy satire, President Bush is making its way to Comedy Central. Mr. Bush and key members of his administration are portrayed as children in Lil Bush, resident of the United States. In one scene, Lil Bush is seen torturing cafeteria staff by serving up falafel instead of hot dogs. Six episodes written by Donnie Carey, who writes for The Simpsons, will be shown on this channel next year. The cartoon was first commissioned as a series of five-minute clips by mobile phone service Amped. The original episode can be found on the YouTube website, where it has been watched 230,000 times. This is not the first Comedy Central show that pokes fun at Mr. Bush. In 2001, its green live-action spoof, That's My Bush, by South Park creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone, but it didn't last very long.
No, one season, which they claim it was only because of the production values on the show, but it's also because we... Well, because A, it wasn't very funny, and B, because we went into, the war and the so forth and the hey-hey. Which is, man, because that Timothy Bottoms guy, who was famous in the paper chase, and then he got that is one of those guys who's just a billion-to-one genetic lottery, where that guy ended up was born looking just like George W. Bush, mm-hmm. and... He just parlayed that into a whole career because he was in the paper chase. Then he did like a whole lot of nothing for years. And then he was George W. Bush. And since then, he has been in two additional films where he plays George W. Bush. It's like there's that guy who lives in Iowa that looks exactly like Bill Gates. And that's his whole function now. It's just to show up at places where they can't get the real Bill Gates and pretend to be him.
That is our Bush watch.
There's your Bush watch for whatever the hell.
He's
Tuesday.
The president. Resident is kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush.
What's Hillary up to, you ask? You know what she's up to. She's begun calling political operatives in Iowa and New Hampshire to discuss her prospects for her 2008 presidential bid. Her first outreach to operatives in key states with early contests. She started making calls to New Hampshire over the weekend and Iowa on Monday. She spoke to New Hampshire Governor John Lynch last week. Bonnie Campbell, the former Iowa Attorney General who served in the Justice Department under Bill Clinton, said she spoke to Clinton twice on Monday. Campbell's husband, Edward Campbell, is the former chairman of the Iowa Democratic Party. It's highly exploratory, she said. She knows a lot about Iowa. I've already told her I'd support her. We've known for a very long time what she's up to. Meanwhile, Iowa's Governor Tom Vilsack is running for president. As is Senator John Blackbottom.
There's all kinds of exploring with all kinds of committees going on. Oh, it's going to be a good political season. I can just sense it coming right now.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, it's fantastic. Something you just smell a good campaign on the horizon, can't you? 2008 is going to be the glorious time. It's going to be the best year of our lives. Amity, as you know, means friendship.
Hey, kids, the latest trend for you in smoking is the hookah. It's popping up in suburbia throughout this country, number two.
Okay.
There's actually starting hookah bars. It's become this trendy upper and middle class kinds of kids are being involved in that, and young people.
You know, my mother-in-law this weekend actually used the phrase. She said, the kids today listen to the rock and roll. I wish for the life of me. When I go to Provo, I just wish that I could be wired with some sort of recording device. I could just tape everything that she says. I can't for the life of me remember what the sentence is that led up to it and the sentence that followed it. But it was one of those phrases where Laura and I just like looked at each other and shared a little private moment. She's like, wah, 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 you kids that they listen to the rock and roll, wah, 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 which is exactly, and the hookah is the thing, they have that at the Pied Cow, right? Isn't that thing that Clyde was just out of his mind high on?
Yesterday?
No, that time that, when that day that Clyde called and said, like, halfway through the call, I'm so high, and then later on the call denied that he was high at all, and I think that's what it was.
Do they have that thing at the cafeteria where he works?
Who knows? I don't know what Clyde does. Clyde has had a real job for about 9 months now.
I think, and he talks to children about their future.
So does Scotty. where are you going to be in about 2 years, Taylor? Scotty, thank you, Scotty. Scotty is noting that he thought hookahs were on the corner of 82nd. All right. Thank you. Ba-dum-ba-dum-bum. Thank you. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Vicky Rakowski says people are under the misconception that because tobacco is filtered through water, it's somewhat safe. She says it's absolutely false. Tobacco is tobacco, and it'll kill you.
It's a mechanism that's used in other type of drug paraphernalia, and that is a really dangerous practice.
By hip hoppers.
This is the smoking of tobacco through a water pipe. Yes, it started in the Middle East. Probably a gift from our friends, the terrorists.
It's really starting to build up on the number of particularly young people who are seeming to think this is a cool thing to do.
Who do you know?
Anything that has anything to do with tobacco is always cool.
Yeah, smoking is cool, kids. Don't let it else tell you otherwise. It'll kill you, but you'll look cool while you die.
Yes.
That is the thing. As Steve Dallas, as the mighty Steve Dallas, once said, "It really the damnable misery of it is smoking does in the right context, in the right place, with the right kind of clothing and the right kind of friends. Smoking does in fact make you look like a badass. It also makes your breath stink and your penis malfunction. But I mean, some people are willing to make that trade-off."
With building concern about the level of obesity in children, McDonald's has come up with some exercise to go along with those fries your kid is eating. In some of its restaurants across this great land, McDonald's is introducing R-Gym. R standing for Ronald, as in Ronald McDonald. The gyms are designed to give kids some time off their fast food meal, make an exercise, and then go back and finish.
That seems likely.
It seems to me like it's kind of a break-even strategy, that now I can go into McDonald's, eat all that fatty food, and work it off all in the same place.
That guy sounds really
jolly.
That
was Ronald McDonald.
Seriously.
It seems to me like it's kind of a break-even strategy.
So you can work off the food you just had, and then go back for a hearty heaping second portion, won't you, kids?
Well, the New York City Board of Health has voted today to make New York the nation's first city to ban artery-clogging artificial trans fats at restaurants, from the corner pizzeria to high-end bakeries. They passed this ban, everyone passed it. It does give restaurants a slight break by relaxing what had been considered a tight deadline for compliance. Restaurants will be barred from using most cooking oils containing artificial trans fats by July, and will have to eliminate the artificial trans fats from all foods by July 2008. The hotel industry called the ban burdensome and unnecessary, but there's nothing they can do.
Fantastic. Let's see, we have this. Rick, speaking of angry beavers, growing up, my younger brother's front teeth grew at exceptional speed till they were longer than his other teeth. We called him Beaver Boy. In retaliation, he used to run around the house shrieking, "I'm a beaver," and biting us all on the legs. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, who hasn't gone through the I'm a beaver phase? Here's Tim Riley.
Well, there were strong rumors out there today that hip-hop mogul Jay-Z and pop star Beyoncé Knowles will soon tie the knot. That, according to New York Post Page 6, and the pair will read next weekend during Jay-Z's four-day-long 37th birthday celebration. Apparently, the wedding festivities will take place on a yacht in St. Bart's, next to Antigua, some island. Jay-Z, whose real name is Sean Carter, and Beyoncé have reportedly been dating for 4 years. She will next appear on the big screen in Dreamgirls' Christmas Day. Jay-Z came out of rapper retirement to release the album Kingdom Come.
Remember when people used to have to be retired for at least a year before they would come back with something else? That guy, we never get sick of you if you tired of you or, you know, no, what's the thing I'm trying to say? We don't want you to come. You know
we'll
what I'm trying to say.
Never miss you if you don't leave.
That's what I'm saying. It's like because that Black album was out, and then it was like a day and a half later. It's like, no, I'm back in the game, yo. And I'm like, okay, whatever you say, friend.
Let's go back to the moon, shall we?
Let's.
This time for real, NASA announcing it'll establish an international base station on one of the moon's poles. Permanently stamping it by the year 2024, 4 years after astronauts returned to the moon. It is a sweeping departure from the Apollo moon missions of the 1960s. It represents a new phase of space exploration that nobody will be excited about. After consulting with more than 1,000 experts in 14 different countries, NASA decided on what Deputy NASA Chief Shana Dale called a fundamental lunar approach, which is sharply different from its previous moon missions in nearly everything but the shape of the ship going there. This is tremendously boring, so I think I'll just put it through.
Well, what possible reason? Is there really a big clamoring to go back to the moon? What is it we're going to do? How many times do you see a guy hitting a golf ball?
I know.
There you go. It's a golf ball, and I'm driving around in slow motion on a buggy thing that
bounces. Fell over.
I wonder about that all the time. Here's what I wonder. I wonder how it is that they're going to preserve those Neil Armstrong footprints that are allegedly on the moon when we go back. That's the thing I believe.
They turn into a park?
First. Well, those McDonald's play places don't. We're going to run out of space here.
A St. Louis man shot to death Sunday night over a warm beer. A woman shot her husband, who's about 70 years old, 4 to 5 times in the chest after she tried giving, he tried to give her a warm can of Stag beer.
Stag beer.
The wife admitted shooting him in the kitchen of their home. Police said the home had no electricity at the time. They wouldn't identify the man. The woman, who police also would not identify, was taken into custody. New York, Taco Bell today expects to reopen restaurants and close after an E. coli outbreak sickened nearly 3 dozen people from New Jersey to Long Island. Well, that's not too bad, considering, what, 30 million live there? Authorities said 8 Taco Bells had been closed. An executive from the chain's parent company told the company's annual investor conference the company had worked around the clock with health officials. There's no immediate threat to consumers.
Yeah, that whole, the E. coli just liquefies everything. It's not like Ebola liquefies, but, I mean, it's a whole lot of, like a milkshake in a mesh bag, isn't it?
I suppose so.
All right.
It's not immediately clear if the Long Island E. coli is related to the outbreak in New Jersey.
Are you of the Long Island E. coli?
But most of the victims eating at Taco Bell, state medical officials in New Jersey and New York try to pinpoint what caused the outbreak.
Okay.
Oh, South Eugene High School senior has won $100,000 in a scholarship at one of the nation's premier high school science competitions for his research in new areas of mathematics called string topography. This is boring, too. The research was conducted by 18-year-old Dimitri Vantrob. It could provide knowledge that mathematicians in
the best part is
might apply to understand electricity, magnetism, and gravity.
At the end of every...
Oh, gravity, I'm sorry.
Gravy. That's in Beaverton.
But there are a lot of gravy mysteries out there.
The best part is...
In a half font.
At the end of every sentence, I can actually hear you stopping and sort of gearing up.
There are four more sentences to go here.
Gearing up to take a run of the next set of words. Yes. I can hear you stop. All right. Let's just get through this next paragraph.
Now this 18-year-old, he's been working on the PhD level.
Instead of dating.
Punishable and already attracting the attention of researchers. Punishable. Oh, publishable. And already attracting the attention of researchers.
Stupid research, bend over!
He is a son of Russian immigrants, both professors at the University of Oregon. He doesn't spend all his time on math, though. He reads classical literature
and enjoys
time and likes to memorize poetry.
He likes to... Okay. I like to analyze spores, molds, and fungus. Would you like to grope? Oh, good God.
But that's not all. Among the individual finalists was Gunaman Roger Wang of the upstate village of Horseheads, who studied conductive properties in gold nonparticle films, a project that could be used in the development of powerful sensors. Other finalist projects include the discovery of 3 pulsar stars, research in the evolution of Gunan monkeys, and the use of gene silencing technologies in microscopic worms.
The words Roger and Wang should never be next to each other in any news article.
Well, that's Mr. Wang's nickname. His closest friends call him Roger Wang. His parents called him Gunan, which is his real name.
What do you do on the second date with Wang? I'm sorry.
Well, all right. We did make a few ad story. And I hope everyone understood it, because I didn't.
Oh, God damn. Should we plunge on ahead?
Sure. Let's do a penis watch.
Let's.
Well, we got 2 of them here.
Take a look at my enormous penis and my troubles.
That sounds like a question between you and your God.
Take a look at my enormous penis and everything is going my way.
Our first story comes from Germany. German researchers claim to have developed a spray-on condom that would fit perfectly on all men. Jan Venise Krauss of the Institute of Condom Consultancy said they were developing the condom that'll be suitable for every man. We're trying to develop the perfect condom for men that's suited to every size penis, and we're very, very serious. He and his team are developing a spray can that'll fit a man's penis. The user will push a button on the can, and it'll coat the penis with a rubber condom.
We are now reading, this is a news story.
Yes.
We are now reading this in the news hour.
Yes.
It's part of the servicing the public interest, convenience, and necessity.
It comes to us from headline news.
Does it really?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Well,
so this is like a silly string, but for your junk.
I don't know. I'll read on.
So isn't it spray on? It's like You put it in there?
It works by spraying a latex from nozzles on all sides. We call it the 360-degree procedure. Once around from top to bottom, it's a bit like a car wash. Researchers say they'll make the spray-on condom ready to use in just about 5 seconds. It'll function more effectively because of its perfect size. It won't slip off. They hope the high-tech condom, which will be available in different strengths and colors, will be on the market for 2008.
So I don't understand. So this is, it's a spray can.
Yes.
But the spraying all happens inside.
I guess so.
And so it's a, it's like one of those bank teller tubes. You know, like the, one of those things.
Right. But it won't suck anything through a vent. That would be too painful. And then send it back when it's done. I think that's the wrong idea of this product.
Tim Riley gone too far. Okay. Well, that is, I mean, I won't bemoan the no, bemoan? What is it I'm not going to do? I'm not going to be something. I'm not going to be labor in this. But, you know, Sam Kennison always used to know that he was sad that you couldn't just find some kind of spermicidal scotch guard. You know, he could just kind of, you know, out of an aerosol can. So God bless the Germans. They are an industrious, if creepy people.
They are. This is the second part. A sleeping man's genitals are set on fire by his girlfriend. This happened in Fulton County, Jr., Georgia. Somebody was angry with her boyfriend when the pair went to bed over the weekend, and she poured gasoline on his genitals and ignited a fire. Apparently, Bobby Thompson and his girlfriend Cynthia had a fight.
Really? Apparently.
And then they went to bed mad.
Don't ever...
She was still very, very upset. She couldn't sleep. She allegedly poured gasoline between Thompson's legs and ignited the fire. And then the woman herself caught fire, but transported to a Grady Hospital's burn unit.
Well, see, that is sort of a self-cleaning oven of criminals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whole problem taken care of there. Look, I don't care. This is, we can all agree that you shouldn't set a man's penis on fire.
No.
Except with love. Should set him ablaze with passion. But I think we can all agree that I am completely losing all my composure today. I think we can all agree that this is the best show ever. And also, that you do not marry a woman inadvertently who will set fire to your penis later. A woman who would do that, those traits are already readily apparent when you meet a woman. That's a woman who has personality cracks that are easy to spot, I believe, in the initial stages of the relationship.
Are we done with the penis watch?
Yes, well, we're cheering after these messages of interest.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a-melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Good God Almighty. All right, we should take a break here. We'll come back. Here's what's coming up around the corner. We will have... you have Moxie.
I do. It's in the refrigerator.
Excellent.
You're going to need a bottle opener, though.
Really?
It has an old-fashioned stopper on it.
Do I need a church key?
You might.
All right.
I bet Scotty J has a bottle opener on his keys.
I bet he wears one around his neck. Oh, totally. I bet he totally has one on his keys, and I bet it has, like, Denver Broncos or something on the other side of... All right. Tell you what. We'll come back. We got CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy around the corner. He'll tell us who the most unhealthy state in the union is. And I think you'll be surprised. I don't know who it is. Later on, we'll drink some of Tim Riley's sweet, sweet, succulent, decadent Moxie. Savoring every last drop. And then we'll have some stuff. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Celebrate Radio. Best show ever.